Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Let's just pray before we begin. Father, we thank you that you are good. Thank you that you are loving, and we get to explore all the different facets of your love. So today, as we dive into what forgiveness really looks like in our lives, ask that you transform our hearts, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us and shine light on the areas that we need to work on. But thank you, God, that you give us every example that we need, and you give us the power to follow through with this. So be with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Well, I've been enjoying this series on real love. Have you guys been enjoying it? Yeah, it's been so good. God's love is so multifaceted that to really slow down and talk about what does real love look like in my life of patience and kindness and my character, how does that develop, and how am I seeking truth and celebrating in the truth, because that's what real love would tell me to do. So it's just been such a great series. I've been blessed by it. Today we get to talk about forgiveness, which I'm really grateful that my wife and I are here together talking about that, because we've been married for about just over 10 years now in May, and there are a long list of grievances that we have. So I figured that with you as my witnesses, this is the safest place that I can share them all, and you can't do anything about it. So I'm kidding. I'm just joking. She is definitely the better half. I'm teasing. We get to talk about forgiveness today and what a practical attribute it is. I grew up in a house that values and teaches saying sorry and saying I forgive you. Is anybody with me? Well, if you do something wrong, that's what has to happen. You have to say sorry. You have to say I forgive you. And then we can move on. And only when that happens can we move on. So I think the seeking forgiveness, the saying sorry, this is a great practice. We do that with our kids as well. I usually say to my kids, is there something you need to say right now? Hoping that they'll get it. And they pretty much always get it. They know when I put my serious voice on. But there's something important with that practice, right? Take stock, I'm sorry, and seek forgiveness. But you know, we encounter so many different, what I like to call sorry sayers. So there are some different sorry sayers, and I want you to think about maybe your family of origin when you grew up, which category you may have fallen into, or maybe it's somebody you work with. There's the, what I like to call the quick draw sorry sayers. So they're the first ones to say sorry, no matter what happens, whether they are at fault, whatever happens, they really don't want anyone to be upset, so they'll be the first to say sorry. It's kind of a knee-jerk reaction. It's like you bump somebody on the street and they apologize to you. It's that kind of person. They're the quick draw sorry sayers. I would be a quick draw sorry sayer. I am usually the first to apologize, sometimes not fully clarifying what it is that I should be saying sorry for, but I do know that I probably did something wrong. And as we talk about it more, I definitely recognize areas that I have been wrong. So that's usually the case. Brandy will sometimes say, well, what are you even saying sorry for? Well, and I can generally think of something. Anyhow, so I would be a quick draw sorry sayer. It's not that I'm being disingenuous, but that's just the case. Then we have our rapid fire sorry sayers. So they would be the person that they've acknowledged they've done something wrong, but they're not so much concerned about everybody else having hurt feelings. They just don't really want to talk about it anymore. So yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, they're the rapid fire. Yes, I acknowledge it. I really don't want you to tell me all the other things I've done wrong. I don't want to dig into this issue. So I'm sorry. I acknowledge it. Let's move on. And then we have what I like to call the sarcasm slinging sorry sayers. They are generally not typically very sorry. They just know they're supposed to say it. And it usually is accompanied with an eye roll or a dripping tone, like, sorry. Or, well, I'm sorry, but those are the sarcasm slinging sorry sayers. Do we have any of those that are honest enough to say? I see that hand. That's good. So there are different types of sorry sayers. We can apologize for so many different things and in so many different ways that I think sometimes we can miss what we're looking for when we seek forgiveness. Why don't you just watch this video clip quickly?
It's The Daily Show versus Justin Trudeau. Sorry, not sorry.
Basically, I'm going to present you a series of things Canada's responsible for, and this is just an open opportunity for you to apologize for said things that you are either sorry for or not sorry. Drake the rapper.
Not sorry at all.
Drake on Degrassi.
Not sorry at all. Degrassi was a great show.
This goatee.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, that was that. There was just no call for that. I look like my own evil twin.
Yeah, this is.
It was Movember, you know, so it was for prostate cancer. But
yeah, Movember is responsible for this. But whatever's going on in this meeting,
I said I was sorry.
It kind of tails off with our volume at the end, but I love the Prime Minister's response. I said I was sorry. Like he's okay. Like don't push your luck, pal. We can apologize for lots of things, and that's a funny example. You know, we have social media has even a hashtag, sorry, not sorry, which I find hilarious. It's either saying, I don't care, I'm just going to indulge and just do this, not even sorry about that second piece of cheesecake, or it's far more sarcastic and saying, you know, I know you think I did something wrong, but frankly, I don't think I did anything wrong, so sorry, pal, but you're not getting an apology. Which is actually kind of apologizing for not giving an apology. It's very Canadian. But anyway, there are so many different ways we can say sorry, and sometimes we definitely miss forgiveness and what we're really looking for. So what is forgiveness? So a few definitions of forgiveness. It is the intentional and voluntary process by which a victim undergoes a change in feelings and attitude regarding an offense. Let's go of negative emotions such as vengefulness with an increased ability to wish the offender well. That sounds great. Hey, if I could forgive that way every time, my life would be set. I feel like, man, just not only do I forgive how you steamrolled me, not only do I forgive how you cut me off, I hope you have a great rest of your commute. You know, and I hope you get great gas mileage today. And I hope you get a promotion at work because you're going to be there on time because now I'm late. Can you imagine that type of forgiveness? That would be great. And some people actually have God's grace to be so forgiving and so complete. So that's one definition of forgiveness. Another is to stop feeling anger towards someone who has done something wrong, to stop blaming someone. Now that's a fairly applicable one that I think we can all look at every day. There are ways where I can blame people so quickly. I can shirk responsibility. Yes, I did this, but it's their fault, right? Third definition is letting go so the past does not hold you hostage. I think that is such a key because as we've been talking about forgiveness this last couple weeks and researching that theme of letting the past dictate your future, when we are bitter, when we hold vengeance against somebody, it really impacts us so negatively. And being able to forgive is saying, I choose to not look at the future with that same lens with what happened to me. Probably the best example of forgiveness is Jesus on the cross when he cries out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And as our Creator coming to earth as a baby to show how much he really loves us, knowing full well he would carry all of our sin and then be blamed for our sin, falsely accused, and still the grace and the love, the real love, to say, Father, forgive them. Man, what a good example of forgiveness that is. I think of 1 John 1:9. It says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. I actually like the passage, that translation in the Living Bible, how it says, but if we confess our sins to him, he can be depended on to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. Man, I want to be a person that's dependable, that I'm a safe enough spot. Somebody can come and apologize knowing that I'm not going to dig into them, that I'm not going to hold a grudge, but I will be dependable and forgiving and gracious. So what good examples we have of forgiveness. But sometimes forgiveness is still hard, right? It's personal. It's vulnerable. Forgiveness is hard. And why is it hard? I think there are a few areas why forgiveness is hard. Firstly, forgiveness is hard when we're prideful. We're all prideful to some degree. And that is this wall that keeps us from really forgiving. I think of pride as kind of saying, I can't wait till they get what's coming to them. Yes, I want to forgive, but they really deserve to get punished. So the story of Jonah is a key example of that. I love the story how God calls Jonah, go preach to Nineveh, and Jonah refuses. He runs away. God chases after him, causes a storm. Jonah recognizes his fault. And it doesn't end there. God grabs him with a fish, spits him up on land. Jonah, probably somewhat begrudgingly, but recognizing his fault, drags himself to Nineveh, preaches to the people. And I don't know what his thoughts were, if he was just begrudgingly said what he needed to say, or if he had any vigor and passion in his heart. But I imagine you'd come away feeling like, I just preached a good sermon. That entire city just repented. That was 100% altar call rate. That's pretty good. So, but now the funny thing happens in Jonah's heart where he doesn't seem too happy about it. He actually walks away being like, all right, mic drop, walk away. Now I'm going up to this hillside. I'm just going to now watch the fireworks. I can't wait to see how God punishes these horrible people. Yeah, they should have groveled because they did something wrong. And now we get to see their punishment. I wonder how many times we're a little bit like Jonah, how we will say, I'm going to pay lip service. I'm going to apologize. I'm going to forgive. But I really hope that those people get what they deserve. And we miss that, you know, maybe we're a little bit like Jonah, where we think we deserve forgiveness, we deserve grace from God, but others don't. So that's an area to check our heart, pride. Secondly, it's hard to forgive sometimes when there's no actual apology. Sometimes somebody may do something wrong, and we will never get an apology back, whether they offended us by accident or whether it was on purpose. There are some scenarios where we will never get an apology. However, if we wait for that first step before we choose to turn our hearts and forgive, we're missing it. Because a heart of forgiveness forgives before the apology, before the words are really said. And real love says, we forgive before even an apology happens. We go that extra mile. We don't just wait for them to dictate our heart condition. We change our heart now. So when they come and apologize, we actually can have restitution. We can come together, restoration. But it's changing our heart first. But no apology makes it difficult to forgive sometimes. And thirdly, personality difference. Now, this is sort of a funny one because sometimes there's no apology necessary. You know that term? No apology necessary. Sometimes we feel like there's really an apology necessary with somebody who has done nothing wrong to us. It might be a personality rub or some friction. Maybe it's somebody you work with, Luke, or I'm kidding. I'm just joking. I'm sure Luke would have a long list if he really let himself, but you're far too loving for that to hold anything against me, my personality. We're very different. But there are personality rubs that can happen that we feel like they owe me an apology. Really, they don't owe you any apology. They're just different. They think differently. They act differently. Maybe it's that obscure family member at a reunion that you meet, and you're just like, everything you do kind of puts me off. And I'm sorry, but I'm annoyed. I even said it like that. I'm sorry, but we can get frustrated and annoyed with people to a point where we feel like they owe us an apology for just being themselves. And sometimes, probably, we're actually that annoying relative. So I think it's good to look back at us and say, okay, how am I different? How am I rubbing other people the wrong way? How am I making things difficult? And where is an apology even necessary? So those are some ways that forgiving is actually difficult.
Yeah, so Joel talked a little bit about what forgiveness is and the reasons why it's difficult. So I automatically am thinking, what does the Bible tell us about it? Why then do we forgive? If it's so challenging, then why should we do that? And the first reason is kind of the most obvious, and that's that it matters to Jesus. It's a priority to him. Really, the pinnacle of history centers around his death and the subsequent work of the cross. So even before Jesus died, he began teaching on the issue of forgiveness. And we see how important it was to him because of the frequency that he talks about it, but also the weight that he ascribes to it. Matthew 5:23 says, "So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God." It's important for us to be dealing with our offenses, and it's important to God that we do that in a timely manner. Matthew 18:21 says, "Then Peter came to him and asked, 'Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Again in Luke 17, "If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then, if there is repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive." It's important to God that our forgiveness is ongoing. Luke 6:37 says, "Do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others or it'll all come back against you. Forgive others and you will be forgiven." To me, when I read that, I think about relational fruitfulness. I think about when we're in a circle of unforgiveness with each other, we're constantly looking for the worst, right? We're looking for the worst examples, the worst part of a person. We're looking for them to mess up again to affirm the first offense. And then we get into a cycle of becoming frustrated and bitter and angry, and it's very difficult to have a fruitful relationship. When we forgive, we can have healthy, fruitful, loving relationships with one another. John 8 talks about when a woman was caught in adultery. This is one of my favorite passages, actually, in the New Testament. A crowd had brought her before Jesus, reciting the law of Moses that would sentence her to stoning. They're trying to trick Jesus into saying the wrong thing. And they kept demanding an answer. And so Jesus stood up and he said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Our opportunity to forgive people can cause us to be reflective about the things we need forgiveness for. And it kind of puts us on an even playing field. Suddenly it's about, yeah, I need to forgive them because they've hurt my feelings or I've been offended. But it's also like, man, God really does need to forgive me because I have things that aren't right too. Kind of puts us all in an equal playing field. So forgiveness matters to God. It's important to him. Forgiveness also matters to us. It's more than mindless morality. It's more than the right thing to do because Jesus said it. Forgiveness has to do with our spiritual maturity. It's not just about others. It's about our own growth. Love and forgiveness, as Joel said, cannot be separated from one another. If you choose to live out the love of God as the purpose of your life, then forgiving is an option that we can't avoid. Forgiveness helps us to more intimately understand God's mercy and grace in forgiving our offenses, especially when we're the ones who get to be forgiven. But it also allows the love that we express to be made complete. Like we've been talking in this series, when we forgive, the love that we express is more full of truth and decency, humility, kindness, and patience. The more we forgive, the more we can truly love. And thirdly, forgiveness matters to other people. It matters to the people in our life. It offers freedom to other people. For me, I have to ask for forgiveness every once in a while, usually related to the issue of directness. So for those that are close to me, those that are kind of my safe place, they know that I can speak bluntly. I can say it how it is. Sometimes I get people give me a rough time that are in that small circle and they'll say something like, "Oh, gotta call the heavy hitter, gotta call Brandy, and she's just gonna tell everybody how it is." It sounds so harsh. It sounds so harsh, right? And everyone, and those people, they know my heart. They know all the parts of me. They know what I'm trying to say. And so they're not put off when maybe what I'm trying to say gets lost in translation or it's too direct for our culture. They're okay with that. But every once in a while, that directness slips out to people that I don't know as well, and it comes across as harsh, or maybe it comes across as being unkind. And Luke and I were just talking about this, and he would be somebody who can handle my directness, but he would also say that he knows what that feels like when you're like, "Oh, it slipped out to the wrong person. Ugh, I like forgot my filter there. Ugh. And it's hard. You feel really vulnerable. You feel like, oh man, I could be really misunderstood. And the best thing is that forgiveness can be an option, that I can say sorry, and that those people who don't even know me that well will be willing to say, do you know what? I forgive you. I see the best in you. I know what you're trying to say. And I'm so grateful for those opportunities. I'm so thankful when people give that gift to me. Otherwise, I think what starts off as kind of sadness or sorrow over our wrongdoing can become a consuming guilt or a preoccupation with our sin. And really, that's non-redemptive, isn't it? When we're just sulking in our sinful way and there's no way out, there's nothing redeeming about it. Paul addresses this well, I think, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He's following up with the treatment of a man who had been kind of excommunicated from the church. Paul is talking here about discipline, and he says, I am not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt all of you more than he hurt me. Most of you opposed him, and that was punishment enough. Now, however, it is time to forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, he may be overcome by discouragement. So I urge you now, reaffirm your love for him. When we forgive people, we are letting them off the hook. Here, Paul is instructing the Corinthians to reinstate the offender and give him back kind of his church privileges. And I think when we forgive somebody, we can give the offender the gift of being seen in their best light. We can help them. We can give them the gift of not just being defined by their mistakes or saying something too bluntly or whatever it is. We can see them in the best light. So forgiveness matters to God. It matters to other people. It matters to our development. So what do we do? It's still challenging. We know we got to do it. So what does that look like? How do we actually get out into the world and into our relationships, and when it's challenging, actually be able to see if we're forgiving and doing that well? So I think about all the things that forgiveness is not, and then I think about the things that forgiveness is. And one of the first things that comes to mind is that forgiveness is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. It does not negate consequences for wrong behavior. It's not a seal of approval for harmful actions, and it's certainly not an endorsement to stay in a demoralizing situation. But it is, however, a choice that we make to leave our offenses at Jesus' feet, and so we let go. We let go of those things. We let God change our hearts and change our lives and work with us towards forgiving somebody who's offended us. And it means that we move from a place where the wrongful actions of somebody else don't dominate all of our interactions with people from that point on, where that's not the lens that we see the world through. It means that we don't perpetuate hurt because we've been hurt ourselves. Secondly, forgiveness is certainly not conditional. As Joel said, forgiveness isn't the correct response only when somebody is apologetic or recognizes their faults. It's the correct response all of the time. The Bible says we should forgive as many times as we've been offended against. So we need to forgive the unaware offender and the spiteful offender just as fully as the repentant one, because forgiveness is not restrictive. It's the opposite. It's unrestricted. Forgiveness is not constantly ruminating on an offense or the growing list of faults that another has. Sometimes I think as the church we can kind of get stuck in this area. It can be hard for us because we all need a safe place to process. We all need a safe place to talk through things that are hard and frustrating. And I think as a community-based church, we're doing that. That's important. But I think our motive in those conversations is kind of the tell-all. That's kind of the key. If our motive in those conversations is to have somebody helpfully come alongside of us and move us toward healing and being able to let go of some of those things that have been really hurtful or offensive, then that's awesome. But I think sometimes we actually cross over to the other side where we're talking about something or somebody. It becomes more and more personal towards somebody, and we're looking for somebody who's going to affirm our hurt feelings, who's going to agree with us, who's going to bring their list of issues about that person or organization or church or workplace so that we can feel better. And that's the wrong attitude. The latter can really result in creating fertile soil for bitterness and malice and hurt. We're watering the ground and allowing a bitter root to start. And we know Ephesians tells us that that's the opposite of what we're to do. Ephesians 4 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Our forgiveness, friends, of other people needs to be complete and constant. Last week, Mike referred to Psalm 103, and I love the way it's talking about Christ's forgiveness to us, the way it's talking about God's mercy to us. It says, The Lord will not constantly accuse me. He does not deal harshly with us. It goes on later to say, he has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. That is our example. That is what has been done for us, and that is the gift we can give other people. As far as the east is from the west, we can forgive others. Forgiveness is also not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Do you know what I mean when I say that? You know, like somebody offends you and then suddenly everything they have to offer is not valid anymore. It's kind of like, oh, I heard the speaker and there's like 5 great messages and then there's this one and I'm not really sure if I agree with that. So everything now that they say is not true. Like it's kind of extreme, but you know what I'm talking about. That's kind of, that kind of thing I think we do a lot in our culture. And it's unfortunate because I think it's a missed opportunity to really see the best in other people. It means when we forgive somebody that we don't discredit everything that they have to offer just because of some mistakes. And finally, I think that forgiveness is not self-righteous. We all walk around with our indiscretions and our misdeeds and our sin. We all walk around with it, and every once in a while, it rubs against each other. Joel's sin rubs against my sin, and then there's tension. But we're all on an equal playing field. We all need forgiveness, not one more than the other. We all need that. And so forgiveness is always humble. It always requires a reflection of ourselves, what God has done for us, and then that kind of leads to being able to extend mercy and grace to those around us. Forgiveness really is a powerful opportunity. In this church, we talk a lot about community, and I think a very important key to building good community is to be building forgiveness, allowing people to be seen in their best light. It's powerful. It's an expression of Jesus's perfect love, and we have the ability to extend that to others and to change the world we live in as a result of that. I'd love for you to watch this video clip just as we close.
Would you stand with us? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you offer us this wonderful gift of forgiveness. Your real love. Not that we loved you first, not that we did anything to achieve forgiveness or grace, but because you loved us. Because you saw it fit to send your Son to save us, to show us how you love us, to forgive us once and for all. God, would we forgive? Would we seek to forgive in our relationships? Maybe some of us are here today that haven't fully sought that forgiveness from you. Thank you that you still offer that forgiveness for us today, and all we have to do is ask you for it. All we have to do is turn our hearts. And you're ready to forgive like a gracious, loving Father. And as we look around, as we leave this place, God, I ask that you would give us the grace to forgive, to be quick to see the best in others, to be quick to demolish any kind of bitterness. Because when we forgive, we take the blinders off, we take a film away from our eyes, and we see life the way that you want us to see it. We see hope and we see faith and we see love and relationships the very best way when we choose to forgive. So I ask that you'd help us to do that. As we go to our different places today and this week, help us to be quick to forgive. Help us to seek forgiveness and not be prideful, but that we would walk in humility because, man, you've forgiven us so much. So we accept your forgiveness. And we know that that's the best in our relationships. Help us to walk in real love that way this week. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. So good to be with you today. Please do come back next Sunday. We're continuing our series on love. This is Real Love, talking about faithfulness. Doug will be sharing, so don't miss it. See you next week.